You are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander.
Sit still and close your eyes. What's behind the other
door? Do you ever get into that space where you meet people for a reason? What is that reason? Why are they there in your life at that moment? How did you even collide in each other's path? Jackie Dumain was definitely that person for me. 2011 was a big year for me in deciding really what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, and I was green in a lot of ways. And I think what happens when you go into your next chapter of your life, you feel like that 18-year-old person just having all of these aspirations and having a direction but not sure where to go. Jackie always gives me that sense of like a really strong force, but she's a calm force. So it's a really kind of a juxtaposition of calm vengeance, of pure alignment in what you want to go. And you're going to get to know her a little bit more. She even lives by this, she is the creator of Yoga Code, and I really believe that that's what she's all about. She lives in a direction all about, you know, that Yoga Code, what it means to live in that space. A part of the show is about showcasing different entrepreneurs and getting different perspectives on what they're doing. And what I love about Jackie is that she's pretty much done different types of roles, and you're going to hear about that a little bit more. And the more that she was aligned with her true self and her true calling, her whole life just opened up, and so did her travel, which is amazing. I mean, she's worked with the likes of Deepak Chopra. She's very accomplished. She's really well known. And I am so excited to showcase her in this podcast, because I feel like some of these podcasts that I do, I spend a lot of time with them, not in the editing part, but just in the, you know, absorbing who they are and what they do and how they contribute to this world. And Jackie is absolutely one of those people that is a contributor. Here is episode 17, Jackie Dumain.
Today I'm talking to Jackie Dumain, and I met Jackie in 2011 in New York at this really huge business conference. And she was absolutely just somebody that you wanted to stand next to, because she was very personable and sweet and smiley. And then she gave me this rockin' business card, and it said something about the Yoga Code, and it had her picture, and it was really ethereal. And just her visualization, or the visual of that card, really solidified that, okay, I got to get to know this person a little bit more, and I don't know what she's about, but I'm yes to all of it before I even looked at her website. And we had a brief conversation, and she was really just a genuine soul. And we've kept in touch through social media from that point. Like, I followed her career. I see what she's doing. But I knew that she had a lot more to say. And the cool thing is that she's one of these women that's very true to what her self is and what her message is. And I'm going to bring her on in a second. But I definitely want you to do something a little different in this podcast. I want you to look at her website while we're talking. So if you're a cubicle person like I do, and I like to listen sometimes when I'm working and put the earbuds in and watch, you know, secretly go to this website and just look at it while I'm talking to her. So it's Jackie Dumain, DumaiNe.com. And without further ado, Jackie, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I just think it's so amazing that here we are almost 4 years later reconnecting again. And I absolutely remember meeting you in New York City as well. And you know what? I have a feeling this is the beginning of a deeper friendship.
Oh, that's wow, that's so sweet. And I followed your career ever since that moment, and I've seen your postings, and there's just some sort of, you know, realness about it. There's sincerity about it. I love when you post things where you're at, and it's almost like you sort of escape with you when you go into that moment when you're posting, you know, whether you're taking photos of nature or you're doing something like that. I feel really connected with you, even though we never spent any real time together.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's always this line in social media, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, which are, I would say two of the platforms I like to use the most, as to how much to share. And at one point I was using Hootsuite and scheduling some of my posts, and it never felt authentic. So, when I post something, I'm very much a feeler. I'm an extremely sensitive woman, and I feel and I become inspired by things in a really passionate way. So, when I'm inspired by something, I believe that in order to inspire others, it's really important to share it in the moment, like the moment that it's happening, rather than saving it for a blog post in 2 months from now. Most of my blog posts are written the morning I sent them or the evening before. I just, it's important for me to just be in the moment in real time.
Right. And I think that's why I like your blog a lot, because you can just really connect with, what's really important to you. Now, you are the creator of Yoga Co, and I want to talk a little bit about that. And I also want to talk about the evolution of your business. So when I met you, you had, I mean, we both went to the same sort of business conference where it was really centered around marketing online. That basically was a drum that was beating that entire weekend. It was a fantastic event. And I, I walked away with a couple of things, and you did. And I want to hear a little bit more about where you were at then and how that affected your business and what, what's come of it.
Well, it's interesting because in October of 2011, which is when we met, I had literally just had the idea for the Yoga Code weeks before that, and it was on a run in nature, which is where I get most of my ideas and creative inspiration. And just a little background on me, I am a yoga teacher that quit the corporate world to explore the world of yoga. But I became fascinated with the philosophy of it rather than the postures. And without going into details, because you can literally get a PhD in yoga philosophy, and this is just a 1 hour podcast, but there are 10 very specific and unique principles to yoga philosophy that, if applied, can create some pretty dramatic transformation in your life. And I became fascinated with these principles while I was in India at the beginning of 2010. And that fall of 2011, when I met you, it came to me on a run. I can share these principles with others. I can, do workshops and turn it into a coaching program and do retreats with it. And then, boom, the name came to me, the Yoga Code, because these principles are really a code to follow. And so when I met you, Francesca, that seed had just been planted, but the vision around it was so clear. And, I'm sure many of your listeners may have or will at some point experience where, everything just becomes clear in a moment. And I always suggest get into nature, because to me, that's when a lot of clarity happens. And so that's how the Yoga Code began. And I believe it was a couple of weeks after I met you when I came back to Canada, where I live in Calgary. I held my first Yoga Code live workshop, which sold out immediately. And it just kind of took off from there.
So, as I mean, yes, I see that you like really exploded on the scene, and definitely in the circles that we were following, you were definitely a trailblazer. And I saw, a bit of an evolution happening with just your brand and what your philosophy was. So, what changed for you? What was there like an obstacle, was or is it just a new direction? Like, what changed with I mean, all of our companies change from time to time. They evolve, I think. So how did that happen with you?
Well, I find this is a really fantastic question, because I'm learning more than ever now that, entrepreneurship in itself is a journey of transformation and a journey of personal growth. So as our businesses evolve, we evolve, and in the same vein, as we evolve, our businesses evolve. And I think that
right.
became, you know, my first initial struggles were, can I really do this? And really that was one from a technical perspective, because I just didn't quite understand how the pieces would all fit together. I had all the confidence in the world internally, but I needed to translate that into how can I get this out there in the way that I want to. And as I started getting it out in a really organic way, so just started with local workshops, and I always recommend that, like, before you explode online, start local, start in your community, and started coaching people one-on-one locally. And some of it was face-to-face and doing local retreats. And as things, as the business started evolving and growing, and I was evolving and growing, there were times where the two weren't quite fitting together. So there was an evolution in my website, and then there was another evolution in my website, and then I didn't like that because it didn't feel like me anymore. And when I say it didn't feel like me, if any of you are on the website now, that website feels, that was the one I went back to because it felt more like me. But I think some of the challenges were getting caught up in the identity of the business and the identity of me. And when I started becoming the identity of the business, it made me feel a little uncomfortable. And so I thought that I had to shift things and, you know, redesign a website, et cetera. And, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, in the world of online business, and I mean, you just have to go onto Facebook to see how many people now are offering a variety of online courses on how to run an online business. I mean, it's almost, it's overwhelming personally. That I got so caught up in the marketing of the Yoga Code and building this empire and trying to be this, you know, build my online empire, as people would say, that I lost track of the message. So I started placing a lot more focus and attention on building this empire than on living the principles, and I forgot my why. So that's when I had to take another step back. I, you know, reverted to my old website, which, by the way, I am in the process of revising that one, but that's just because the Yoga Code is taking a new direction, and I'm really excited right. about this. So it feels in alignment. But yeah, I had to take a step back, and I went back to India, and I reconnected with yoga philosophy, and now I'm taking a different approach. So I believe one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is to take your time and go back every once in a while, like really go back and remember what your why is, and really pay attention to not get caught up in the hype. Not get caught up in the hype, because it really swallowed me for a while. And I needed to hermit for a bit. I needed to pull away from it all. And now that's affected how I want to go moving forward. I want to do things in a deeper, more personal way rather than this mass way. And that may change again. That may change. But for now, this is what I'm feeling, and I have to honor what I'm feeling now.
You know, I really think that that's important. I feel like social media is going to change, and a lot of it is in or businesses, or that whole emphasis on buy now, and yes, that oversaturation on Facebook. As much as I've always wanted to, you know, do an ad and even study for it, I keep on, something in my gut kept on saying, like, yeah, don't be there. Like, do I want, and you said something interestingly enough, and I want to talk about this, because there are some entrepreneurs that instead of having a wider reach, they just want to go deeper. And tell me what that means for you, because I've always sensed that that's pretty much always been your message. You've been genuine, and you want to go ahead and make that connection with people, but it doesn't have to be at this, you know, gigantic scale. Although I feel like that happens naturally when you really define what you're doing. So tell me about how that is for you.
Yeah, I'm learning how to, because, you know, I believe in the message of the Yoga Code, so I want to get it out there on as big of a scale as possible. But what it means to me now is I want the Yoga Code to be more about the message of the Yoga Code and less about Jackie Dumaine. So going deeper for me means developing the certification program so that I can train others to share the message and do their own coaching and do their own workshops and do their own retreats in an intimate level so that I can, you know, start creating some of the other things that I have on the back burner as well. There's so much more that I want to write about and there's so much more that I want to create. And I still love doing like the small intimate live events, the live workshops. My one-on-one coaching is still over phone and Skype because most of my clients are not in my city anymore. But I don't ever want to lose that and give that up in exchange for everything just being online and click a button, order here, and you'll get everything in PDFs and videos and in a box. Or I'm trying to find that balance of how can I deliver the message on a global level but still remain really intimate. So I can't answer exactly what that means for me just right now, but I'm really close to figuring it out. I'm really close to figuring it out.
So, yeah, tell me more about the Yoga Code, like the whole life coaching program, because that seems like that was, you know, something that I've, you know, started when I started looking at your career. You talked a little bit about that. But I'm really interested in, like, the coaching program and how does that fit in your business and what is that all about?
Well, when I started doing the workshops, they were one-day workshops from 9 to 5, and I would literally take my groups through a journey through these 10 principles of yoga philosophy. And the principles are on my website, so if you want to learn about them, you can feel free to go there. They were very experiential, and we would go pretty deep, and there would be a lot of shift and movement, inner movement, with the participants. And I had several people come up to me afterwards or email me afterwards asking how they can learn more in a deeper way. So I started doing one-on-one coaching where I would take my students. I don't like using the word clients, so I'm starting to shift that to students. And I see myself more as a teacher than a coach, but, you know, coach is what people use now, so that's what I'll use. Mm-hmm. But that may shift as well, as I just feel a lot more connected to teacher. So I started taking my students through a three-month journey through the Yoga Code. And every week we would go really deep into one of the principles, what it meant for them in their lives, how they could apply it in their lives. And then I would give them at the end of each session what I call a soul assignment, a series of tools and assignments for them to begin applying that principle immediately into their life. So this program became not just coaching every week, but it was a system to use and to follow that can be leaned on over and over and over again through our lives whenever we start to go off track. The tools will always be there. The principles will always be there. And I really see the Yoga Code like a spiritual blueprint, or I've used the term like a GPS for your soul. And that's how I use it still today, is when I feel like there's a little chaos or too much drama in my life, I can always go back to them and I know exactly which one is out of alignment. So that's how the coaching began, and the testimonials and the results and the shifts that I saw were just mind-blowing, completely mind-blowing over the last 3 years. So it was only actually about 4 months into starting the coaching that I thought of the idea of offering this as a certification to train others. And it's taken me this long, 3 years, to, I wouldn't necessarily say have the courage to actually launch it, but I felt like I really needed to practice it and go deep with clients one-on-one for longer than 4 months before I could train others. So that's where I am right now. I'm getting ready to launch on a very low level. There won't be a big splash on it on social media. I'm doing a really gentle, intimate invite to the people that have expressed interest in it. And that's where I'm going to start, a really intimate group.
There's a lot of benefits for having some sort of, you know, having a project that's intimate, because yes, you do go deeper and it tends to grow when you do something like that. It's instead of having that rapid succession, I got to make six figures in 6 months. You know, this type of process that you're explaining has, you know, definite sustainability to go past that 6 months and have something that's there that, you know, that will build and inspire and grow, you know, as many years as you go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was really interesting to me too, because, you know, just about the time that we met, the coaching scene was really starting to happen. And yes, I understand the identification of, you know, and I think it's great that you identify more as a teacher. There is benefit for having somebody that's like a mentor or a teacher. And I, you know, that people see this coming up in front of them a lot. Yes, in social media, maybe you signed up for a newsletter that, you know, someone's a coach and they try to inspire you to sign on. And, you know, it's always interesting to me to hear the other side of why we should get a coach, or why is that valuable? Or, you know, when you're in particular with Yoga Code, why would we have a teacher to take us there? What are the benefits for that?
Well, I think that we've lost, you know, sight of what a mentor is in our world. I mean, you know, I've connected with some super successful people in the business world, and all of them had a mentor of sorts. And I believe we all need someone there to guide us. When it comes to, in particular, the Yoga Code coaching, I think there's just so much value in connecting with someone that isn't a part of your immediate circle, where you can share your fears and you can share your dreams and you can share your goals and ambition and your samskaras. And that's a yogic philosophy term for our patterns, those negative patterns that keep showing up in our life that prevent us from moving forward. Those are called samskaras.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to have someone that isn't our best friend or isn't our mom or isn't our sister to really be there to guide us with concrete tools. And I think that's important as well, is that, you know, working with a coach, I love when I give tools to my students that they actually apply. And that's the key, that you have to apply them. And then we get on the call the next week and they are just blown away by how this tool has created shift in their lives. So to me, that is such an invaluable gift, to be given tools and new perspectives on existing challenges in their lives, like how to look at their existing challenge in a different way that perhaps they never would have thought of. And it can be just such a joyful experience for both the student and the teacher. So for client and coach, whatever words you want to use, I could be having the worst day in the world. And as soon as I get off a call with a client, I am so inspired by them. So I think it's a mutually beneficial journey.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do like that whole, you know, connection with another person. That for some reason, it does seem like when you're coaching someone that they actually are saying something that benefits you at the same time, like it's reciprocal, like you're meant to like hear what they were supposed to say at that very moment, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that synergy thing does happen. And I do like the idea of that structure. I know that personally I've received so much out of being the student and later on in doing career coaching. It's been, you know, very beneficial to me too. What I'd like you to talk a little bit about, and I think this is really powerful, when you do get a coach or a teacher, and say, you know, if I was going to go into that sort of thing with you, where you would be my teacher in the Yoga Code, what are ways as a student that I can you know, show up for myself. And there's a lot of things that, you know, especially if you're a newbie and you've never been coached or taught before in this sort of setting, there's a lot of things that we do, like avoidance, maybe not, you know, maybe be late for a call or reschedule like crazy. And I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what you, you know, you decided, let's just say you decided that you want to be a student and you seek somebody like you. And, you know, you're very excited in the beginning, but there are ways that you block yourself and you don't show up for yourself. So what advice can you give to that sort of, you know, transition?
Well, I always take somewhat of an application from the students that connect with me that want to work with me through the Yoga Code. And I have politely declined to work with some people, and not because I didn't like them or want to work with them, but I knew, and they knew as well, so they fully were in agreement with me that they weren't quite ready. And I believe that, you know, when someone, how can I put this? Well, we talked about the world of, you know, all the stuff available online, right? And, you know, there's a gazillion online conferences and seminars and summits that you can log on to and listen to a lot of inspiring interviews. There's TED Talks. I mean, there's just so much out there that when I have someone connect with me, the first thing I ask them to do is to stop all of it. To stop all of it. Because we're overwhelming ourselves by scattering our energy everywhere. So if they're taking another program with another coach or, you know, are involved in any other kind of program, I just tell them, you know what, I'm choosing not to work with you until you're done that, because I'm going to show up and give you my 100% attention, and I want you to do the same. So we'll schedule our sessions on the same day of the week at the same time. And I really am somewhat strict about that. I really ask that they honor that, because our body, we like momentum and we like routine. And so if you can commit to every Tuesday night or every Tuesday at 4 o'clock is our session, and put it in your calendar and treat it. I mean, if you're a student or a client, you're paying money. I mean, the third principle of the Yoga Code is non-stealing. And, you know, that principle is very wide and it can go deep, but I'll just share one aspect of it. If you don't show up fully prepared, or if you're on a call and you're browsing your Facebook at the same time, or maybe you skip out on the call and you don't show up, you're not only, you know, robbing or stealing from the teacher or the coach, but you're ultimately stealing from yourself. And so my top line guidance on this would be just commit. And that's principle number 8 of the Yoga Code, is commitment. Commit to it. Commit to it fully. Because if you want shift to happen, then you need to make a drastic change. And most people who are looking for a coach want to make change. And if part of the change they want to make is procrastination or self-sabotage and ending all of those behaviors, and they continue to do that within the coaching program, then, you know, it's hypocritical in a way. And I don't use that term in a really harsh way, but I just ask that you commit and just see what happens, because I've seen miracles happen when you commit.
I think that's really powerful, definitely, is being able to commit. And it makes me think, you know, whether you're a student or a teacher, there are those times where you do that procrastination thing. What are some of the things that you do to, like, push through it personally? I'd love to hear what's your secret elixir of just, you know, pushing through that procrastination, especially for entrepreneurs, because sometimes we just want to be absolutely perfect. And I love that you roll with the changes in your business. So what are some of the things that you do to push through that?
Well, I am the queen of procrastination, and it's in my genes. So, and I don't mean, you know, genetic from ancestors or anything, but it's been my pattern really my whole life. I was a crammer in school. I would, you know, cram the night before the exam. I always finished projects last minute. Luckily, I always aced everything, which I believe is a bit of a detriment because I taught myself that this is what I could do. I can work last minute, procrastinate to the last minute, stress myself out completely, and then do a good job. So I think one of the first steps is to, first of all, if that is your pattern, just embrace it first and say, okay, it is my pattern to procrastinate and to finish things last minute. And then ask yourself, how does that feel? Well, for me, it was starting to feel really horrible because I knew in my heart that I wasn't producing my best work, that I could have done better. So now I'm not the kind of person that is going to prepare 2 months in advance for a launch of, I don't know, or a blog post, for example. I'm not going to take 2 months to write it, or that's not in my nature. But I also don't want to cram anymore. I don't want that stress. So I've learned to forgive myself and be gentle with myself. That's the first principle of the yoga code is ahimsa, kindness and compassion. But I've learned to have compassion with myself that I work well when I have a tight deadline, but I'm not going to let it get so tight that it causes me contraction in the body. I want it to feel good, and I want it to feel like momentum, and I want it to feel like passion and energy. And that feels good for me, and it feels safe for me. But when I push it too close, it feels horrible, and it feels like contraction, and I feel very, very stressed. So I believe understanding your natural patterns is key and very important. And just do one small action. You know, action relieves anxiety. Action relieves anxiety. And I always repeat that because procrastination causes anxiety. And if you can just do one small action to move you forward, just write one sentence of your blog, anything, I often find that you'll get more out of yourself that day.
Right. And, you know, it's true. And I'm wondering, because if that place, I see you travel a lot. So I'm wondering, do you do procrastination too just before you decide where you're going to want to go? Or does that just not even happen at all with when you travel or when you think of traveling?
Do I procrastinate with travel, like on choosing?
Like not so much a destination, because I know that you also, like, you'll travel, but you'll also work. You're like a working entrepreneur anywhere you go. Do you find that procrastination is there still, or does it lift up when you travel?
That's a good question. It really depends on the destination and where I am. When I was in India, for instance, I had thoughts, okay, I'm going to be here in this ashram for 6 weeks. Therefore, wow, I am going to have all this time to write and work on the yoga code book and, you know, do all this stuff. And after the first few days, when I really just wasn't into doing any of it, I let myself off the hook. And I allowed myself to just not do anything and to just experience my experience there and not feel a need to write. So I didn't blog the entire time that I was there. I allowed myself to experience it as my own experience. I guess in the beginning it was procrastination, but I listened to that procrastination, I questioned that procrastination by asking myself, where is this coming from? You know, am I procrastinating because maybe I just don't want to do it? And maybe it's just not in alignment. I just don't want to do it. And it wasn't a temper tantrum toddler stomping my feet thing. It was, no, I'm in India right now, and I just want to experience being here and not feel the need to work while I'm here. So that was my experience with procrastination in India. I guess it is depending on the destination. If I'm in a destination that I haven't been before, I'm a curious explorer. So I think it might be a little dangerous for me to have project deadlines. If I was traveling in a new destination, I think there'd be some procrastination going on.
So, yeah, I love that you have that sense of that instinct where you're able to just turn it off when you need to and you need to stay in the moment. And I think that's really important, especially for entrepreneurs, is to be able to recognize that. You know, when do you work? You know, one of the things that I did in L.A., is I would normally work from 8 a.m. to like 1 o'clock, you know, 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. basically, you know, on and off, not solid, but it was just really something that I did. And when I moved over to New Zealand, I made this agreement with my partner, with my husband, like, all right, I'm going to work from 8 a.m. and then stop at 6, which to me was pretty insane. And then to top it all off, I'm not going to do that 7 days a week. I'm only going to do that 5 days a week. And I'm going to feel connected and off on the weekend. And for me personally, I just thought, oh, this is stupid. Why am I going to do that? And my passion level is there, and people should respect that. And but once I started implementing that, my whole world changed. Like, I'm actually able to check out this cool city and understand that it's, you know, the cool thing about this city in Oakland is that it has a little bit of a European feel and doesn't look like the U.S. And it changes and evolves. And it's almost like it lets you in. Any city does when you explore it. So
yeah,
I love that you have that sense where you know when to turn off. And are there any like tips to help, you know, not only me, but to like other entrepreneurs, like know that it's a good sign to turn off when, you know what I mean? Like getting that sort of sense of where to put your own boundaries on yourself.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're feeling stuck, I mean, I always believe this. I mean, it doesn't matter what city I'm in. So even if I'm at home, and I know it's a gorgeous sunny day out and I'm starting to procrastinate, but I have a lot of stuff to do. If I'm really inspired and on a roll, I will still sometimes give myself 30 minutes to just go outside and put my feet in the grass and reconnect with nature. And, you know, because we can get off balance really, really easily, really easily. And I'm a big fan of the timer, you know, timing myself. So saying, okay, I'm going to work for 3 hours. And then after 3 hours, I'm going to take half an hour to go and to a cool coffee shop down the street and just be in the energy of those people and grab a tea and come back home. And I started doing like the Sundays off where it's like, you know what, on Sundays, I'm not going to open my laptop at all. That's shifted now, but I did that for a long time and I'll probably go back to it actually. Because I think when you're running an online business, it's really important to have a day off. Really important to have a day off every week, like normal people in normal jobs. And you know, this is really interesting. I was recently back in my hometown, which is a small town, very small. Like the population was 1,100 when I was born there. And I've noticed like so many of my old friends that are there and old family members who just have like really simple lives of they go to their 9-to-5. They've been in the same job for 23 years. They have their evenings and their, you know, weekends. And it's a lifestyle that doesn't align with me at all. However, I really did kind of appreciate this. I go to work, I come home, and then I'm just present. I'm fully present with everybody that's there. I'm present with my kids. They were present with me. They weren't on their phones all the time, checking email or checking social media. And I really admired that. And although I don't think I could adopt the 8-to-5 and all weekends off schedule, and that's fine, I am going to try and incorporate a little more of it into my life by having some time off where I can go out of the house for the entire day and not even bring technology with me.
Right, right. And, you know, it's something that I think – especially women, we tend to start to feel something physically when things are being, when we're overwhelmed and we're overworked. And, you know, particularly me, just before I went and started my own business, I was let go with a really high pressure job. But before I was let go, because I wasn't willing to let go, I could have actually left before they let me go. And I had like this really nice severance check. And I started my business with it. But there was an opportunity for me to go, and I didn't pay attention to it. I landed in the emergency room. And I had my gallbladder taken out. I was just like, really? And this was supposed to be my honeymoon. I was in Cabo. I came back and I was like in pain. And I went and got rushed to the emergency room. I know, because Monday was rolling around. I had to go back in. I now know that that's a real symptom. Like people's bodies revolt going into something that they don't want to. And I've always used that as a touch tone or a touching stone of what I should be, you know, paying attention to. And I think not too long ago, I was headed in that direction with working those crazy hours of being an entrepreneur and driving hard. And it was about the business and it was about staying focused. And what I liked about you, and you're such a great example, is that you were sharing, you know, really just being in the moment, checking out your surroundings, being in total gratitude and appreciation for that moment. And I think that's what draws me to you, Jackie, honestly, is that you're able to do that. And it reminds me that, there's more than just this crazy online circle that I keep on trying to pursue, like a little cat trying to get the mouse. With that said, is there anything that are, warning signs that people should just be aware of? Like, hey, that's your... Those are your sensors to disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as women, especially, we can be really susceptible to physical reactions in our body when we're overstressed. I mean, adrenal fatigue is at an all-time high in women, even though it's still very misunderstood. And a lot of the symptoms can be misdiagnosed as depression, et cetera, but you know, if you read the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, I mean, it's virtual, almost on the verge of burnout. And, you know, the world of entrepreneurship and the online world, I believe, has a very masculine energy to it. It's very, like, hustle and show up every day and never, ever quit. And it can be really hard. And I am a type A personality. I get it from my father. I am very driven. So it's very easy for me to fall into that trap. I mean, before I went into the world of yoga, I worked in marketing and advertising. I was in corporate advertising sales. I mean, that was like so high pressure and very masculine driven. It's like, get out there and pound the pavement and do the deals and get the client, regardless of what you need to do. Lie if you have to, just get the client. And I had a breakdown. I had a physical nervous breakdown where I was put on antidepressants and I was put on anti-anxiety medication because I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, so I went to the world of yoga, but just because I'm in an industry that teaches the philosophy of yoga doesn't mean I'm not susceptible to falling into that hard male energy go, go, go trap. So I really believe this is why for me, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the call, going out into nature is such a reset for me to just get out in nature, to see the trees without my phone, without anything, and just to be in it. But signs that, you know, warning signs, fatigue, fogginess. For me, it's like when I have sudden cravings for lots of carbohydrates and sugar, feeling uninspired, and sometimes I'll even feel like physical pain on my right side, like in my liver, which, you know, our liver houses a lot of energy anger, and I believe that when we get into that full-blown aggressive entrepreneur mode, it's an aggressive energy. It's a very harmful, angry kind of energy. And it affects our body. It affects our body. And it talks to us. And we really need to listen.
I love that. And I'm going to, you know, this is a great pitch as, I think, and to wrap up with you, because people that really felt this sort of powerful surge like I just did need to just go and connect with Jackie and check out the website, sign up for the newsletter, but more importantly, check out to see Well, let me ask you, are you taking on any coaching clients?
I'm just wrapping up my spring session of 2015 client. So the way that I work is I start everyone on the same week, even though it's one-on-one, and then we end on the same week. And I will be taking a couple months off from one-on-one coaching over the summer, but launching in the fall. But if someone is interested, I really suggest reaching out because I do start developing a little bit of a wait list for the fall.
That's true. I've seen a lot of your programs go into a big wait list, and which speaks a lot about you and what you give. So I encourage everybody to just check out JackieDumaine.com. I'm going to have all of the links in the podcast and also on the blog. So, you know, I encourage you to check it out, look at it, you know, have a conversation, connect. And if you feel like you're one of these people that need a little bit more guidance and being in touch of what your body is saying to you, you know, I know that Jackie can help you get there. Thank you so much, Jackie. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Francesca, for having me. I appreciate you as well.
I love doing that interview, and I hope it inspired you so much that you can go ahead and check out this website. It's going to give you a lot more information on topics just like this. Go to hustleandglow.com/AMP. That's for AMP. Backslash. So it's hustleandglow.com/AMP for AMP backslash. And there you'll find a lot more information. You can actually sign up for the free newsletter, and we will get you on the road to a wonderful entrepreneur journey. Thank you so much for listening. And again, this is Francesca Alexander with the Beauty Beat.
She ain't got your love anymore.